You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
We move on to the second half of the Civic Media Spotlight. We kick off with the Maggie Dawn Show. Representative Jody Emerson of Assembly District 91 joins Maggie to discuss her ongoing work to combat human trafficking, highlighting how community awareness and empathy play a critical role in prevention.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm so glad to have my next guest here with me on what is a troubling and trying day here in the news biz. Her name is Jody Emerson. She is the representative of the 91st Assembly District here in the state of Wisconsin's legislature. She's my special guest for this installment of Broad Appeal. Welcome to the show, Jody. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me, Maggie, and what a great name for a segment. I love it.
Yes. For those that haven't heard me talk about it before, I don't mean it in a cheeky way. I mean it literally. One, I call myself abroad, so I mean it with love and respect. And two, I think women as candidates, as leaders in politics, have a really broad appeal. They have a true call to service, especially when we see something in our communities that is not working as we wish it would. Let me just start there, since that's the topic that got queued up, Jody. You first ran and won back in 2019. This is a difficult political moment. It was a difficult political moment in 2019. I think it's only kind of exacerbated since then. Why get into politics when there's so much hate and division that seems to define our political discourse these days?
Yeah, so for me, running for public office wasn't anything I ever dreamed of. It wasn't on my, you know, bucket list or five-year plan or 10-year plan, anything like that. It really truly is about service to my community. It's something that I've always done, whether it's different volunteer roles of, you know, being the soccer manager, the PTA mom, whatever, or as you mentioned before the break, my role in fighting human trafficking. That was about seeing something that was happening in my community and wanting to do something to make my community better. And when the position opened up in 2018 for the legislative district that I live in, I thought, you know what, this is just the next step in service for me. This isn't to give me a title. It wasn't because, you know, I was really upset about Trump being elected 2 years beforehand. It's about serving my community. And that's the hat that I try and wear as often as I can to do constituent services, to bring good ideas that are happening in my district to Madison, to spread them around to the rest of the state. And honestly, it's what I love about this job. I mean, there's a few things that I don't love about this job, but being in and amongst my community, meeting people, hearing their stories, hearing their wins and their opportunities for improvement, and being able to help with that. That's community service, and that's what this job is about for me.
Folks, that is 91st Assembly District Representative Jody Emerson. Let's talk about your work in human trafficking. Please give some folks an insight into your background, and how did you find yourself becoming an advocate and an activist in the human trafficking space? It's not the first thing that would jump to mind for someone from Chippewa Falls that's got a husband and a couple of kids. Again, how did you come to this sort of work?
Yeah, so it's kind of a funny story. My husband's a longtime journalist. We are both very involved in our community. If my kids were involved in a project, you know, I was the Girl Scout leader, I was the PTA mom, I was the, you know, basketball manager, the soccer manager, whatever they were doing, I was involved in. And then my kids did this really rude thing and grew up. and, you know, decided that they needed to go to college and live their own lives. And I was like, well, shoot, my projects are leaving. Now what do I do with my life? And at the time, my husband was actually working on a story about this new group that was coming into our area, just really grassroots, just education and awareness about human trafficking. And we hear about it internationally. We hear about it in big cities. You don't think about it happening in the Chippewa Valley. And the more I learned about it, the more I realized it wasn't just happening in my town, it was happening in my neighborhood, and it was happening to girls that grew up with my girls. And that's where, like, the mama bear came out in me, and I was like, I can't let this happen without doing something about it. And so that's actually kind of how I got started legislation as well. So I got involved in just educating myself, talking to schools, talking to hotels, talking to police, talking to anybody who would listen about human trafficking and learning about it, and learned that our laws in Wisconsin weren't really up to speed on what we needed to do to nail the bad guys in the digital age and also to support victims of human trafficking. And so I got involved in policy, was part of the Attorney General's Task Force for Human Trafficking, way back in, gosh, I think it was 2014, 2015, testified on some bills, really tried to get human trafficking and fighting that and understanding complex trauma and how that impacts decisions that people make or that they're forced to make. And, you know, I was down in Madison probably once a week dealing with policy and legislation. And so when Dana Walks, who was in this position before I was, decided he wanted to run for governor and this position opened up, I was like, shoot, I'm down in Madison enough the way that it is now. So let's do this. And it, for me, when I talk about community service, it really truly is something that does impact everything I do, everything my husband does. You know, we can make a lot more money doing other things, but we choose to serve our community, and that's truly important to us.
Folks, again, that's Jody Emerson, one of our state representatives, talking about her background in human trafficking. As long as we're talking about that, Jody, like, let's take some minutes and actually do a little public service announcement style information about this. For folks that work in hospitality, hotels, travel industry, are there some warning signs that people should be aware of if you suspect someone might be trafficked? What does it look like? What are some of those signals? And what should someone do if they see someone that they suspect may be being trafficked?
Yeah, so I think it's hard to say whether somebody is actually being trafficked unless you know a lot about their situation. But I think we always see situations where we're like, something's just not right there. Whether it's, you know, a bad relationship, an abusive relationship, somebody is struggling in some part of their life. And then you walk away and you go, gosh, 10, you know, a day later, you're like, I wish I would have said something to that person. So I think really about it, it's about leading with kindness, just reaching out, whether it's an unhoused person, somebody that seems like they're maybe having some situation going on, and just, you know, in the context of safety for yourself, first of all, I think that's first and foremost so important. But to just say, like, hey, is in whatever seems important at that moment, is there something I can do to help you? Are you okay? Do you need something? Sometimes even just a little conversation breaks apart what is happening. Maybe it's a intimate partner argument or something like that. And just seeing that somebody else is seeing what is going on maybe stops that from happening. But, you know, it's about power and control. It's about not having control over your own body, your own decisions, and what's happening with you. So really, when we're looking at human trafficking, it's about a commercial sex act, for sex trafficking anyways, commercial sex act by force, fraud, or coercion. There's also labor trafficking that happens in our country. We think about that a lot of times overseas, you know, in sweat factories and things like that. But it can happen in the hospitality industry in our communities. It can happen on farms and things like that. And so, you know, it's about just being aware of your surroundings and kind of following your gut. Don't put yourself in danger, but reach out. And when I was working in the industry, we did a lot of training for hotels and restaurants, knowing what to see. You know, like a big red flag would be if somebody's trying to check in with cash and they say, well, I don't have it now, but if you give me an hour, I can have that cash. Probably a good red flag that something's maybe not right there. So, you know, having those relationships with your local support systems, whether that's a domestic violence shelter, whether it's a violence interrupter in your community, or whether it's your local law enforcement, having those interactions so that you know who to call when you see something is infinitely important.
It is so important. And I, beyond just the question of folks in vulnerable positions that may be trafficked, your beginning point was to be aware and sensitive to how other people might be doing and to basically ask someone, hey, are you okay? How are you? Is there something I can do to help you? Boy, do we need a lot of that. And actually,
it sounds like it's being a human, you know, and we need more of that in this world.
I mean, when did we get like lose that skill set of just being sensitive to what other people might be going through and ask them, are you okay? Is there anything I can do to help you? I really think, you know, especially in the context of the tragedy this morning in Minnesota, whether it's parents, acquaintances, coworkers, you see someone at your house of worship, wherever it may be, and they don't seem to be doing well, ask them. I have in my own life tried to do that in little ways. And sometimes people have said, no, I'm not okay. Please do X. Now, we get a little conditioned, especially here in, you know, Midwest nice. Oh, I'm fine. Nothing. I don't need anything. But that basic human connection and being aware of how others might be doing. Jody, I want to start the discussion a little bit. We're going to have to take care of a few messages. But to tease for everyone, what I have been finding through particularly this segment, which is every Wednesday at 4:30, we do Broad Appeal and I interview female political leaders, community leaders, electeds, all kinds of amazing women that are active in supporting and lifting up our communities. What I have found that many, many women who have been moms have found their way into politics and they are particularly good at it. So I want to talk a little bit about how being a mom and raising kids was such a great training ground for you as a politician. So we're going to have that conversation with our special guest, Jody Emerson, when we come back. But Jody, let me just start with this very micro question. What was your husband's response and your kid's response when you were like, you know, I think I want to run for office?
it was a process. Let's put it that way. because it wasn't ever on my radar. Like I had decided, I think I'm going to do this. And I think it took about a good 6 months of talking to them to get them on board with it, just because it was going to be such a big change in our lives and, you know, how it would impact everybody. Because we know, especially when women run, we get asked questions that the rest of people don't get asked. So we'll touch base on that soon.
Yes, we will talk about those questions that seem to be specially reserved for women with Representative Jody Emerson on today's installment of Broad Appeal. When we come back on the other side, don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Next up, we get to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. On Pete's show, Pete is joined by Todd Michaels for some very paranormal investigator stories. Tune in.
Welcome back. Nightlight's last chance summer getaway is in full, I can't even say it's in full throttle because it's only 3 days. So we are in our inaugural night here, folks, and the keyword is play. Text in play, and you are eligible to win a Chula Vista overnight certificate and dining voucher, $175. You can't put a price tag on that, can you, Conrad?
You know, Todd's eligible now.
Todd is eligible.
That's right. Well, dang. Wait, hey, hold on a second.
I really hope you already texted in, Todd.
I didn't yet, but I'm going to. The password is play. Bing. That was the gig I always wanted. You know that, right?
Alan Ludden?
Well, was it Alan Ludden? Alan Ludden was one of the best, but I always wanted to work on a game show. I wanted to be Johnny Olson or, you know, one of those guys that was the announcer.
Yeah, announcer gig would be cool. Because those guys, that's like Vanna White. You know, you have like the least amount to do on the show, but you get paid huge. And just saying, here's Alan Ludden. That guy probably makes $1 million a year, you know?
I don't know if they made that much back in the day, but you'd work on like 4 or 5 game shows.
Yeah.
And that's what you do. You go in, you tape 5 game shows of Password, and then you'd go down the hall and tape 5 of something else. And all you had to do is read the script.
And then you go to Tom Bergen's and you drink for free for the rest of your life. It's a pretty sweet. And you've got the voice, dude. You should have been that guy.
I know. I didn't. You know what? I didn't do it. You know what, Pete? Thank you.
It's not
to hell with this interview. I'm going to go get a gig.
Whoa. You can finish the interview. I don't think 17 minutes is going to affect too much or whatever we have left. Todd Michaels is my guest. You can see Todd's work at Real Ghost Stories Online and Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. You produce these shows, right, Todd? And you're on the air with them as well, correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's again, the Hidden Killers Live is going to be starting on Tuesday right after Labor Day. And we started the Real Ghost Stories Online a couple weeks ago. So that's in full throttle, as I'm going to use that word because you used full throttle. I'm really excited about being a part of it.
I'm kind of scared to watch things like Hidden Killers and that, because do you ever watch something like that and go, what if I'm a hidden killer? Not in the Homer Simpson voice, but you just really think maybe there's something in you that hasn't been unleashed yet.
Well, when you listen to psychotherapists, now one of the big stories over the last couple of years was what happened in Moscow, Idaho. And I'm not going to get deep into it because I don't know a lot about it, but Brian Koberger killed 4 students in Idaho. And we're just finding out a little bit more about Brian Koberger now. And it's kind of crazy because when you listen to psychotherapists talk about some of these people, you know, he studied like other people. I mean, it's crazy when you think about the Dahmers and they all have a little bit of linkage there. There's always something really, really in common. And I will just say this, if you like true crime a little bit, you can go online and get updated on so many different weird people out there and some of the stuff that went down. It's really crazy.
What is the thing that links that? I mean, I know they have similarities and they always look for, like, did they harm animals when they were younger, that kind of stuff. But what do you know what the similarity is, or are you just speaking generally?
I think just speaking generally, you know, a lot of them are broken in some way, shape, or form. A lot of them had issues in their family, dominating mothers. I mean, think of Psycho, right? I mean, we're not far off from that being kind of reality. So when you look at the family dynamic of some of these people, we're covering Donna Adelson. She had, she's on trial right now, and they're trying to figure out if she masterminded and paid for her son-in-law getting killed in Florida back in like 2014, 20, I don't know how long ago it was. At any rate, it is absolutely crazy, you know, how that family dynamic worked. She was the matriarch of the family, and, you know, kids wouldn't even go to the bathroom and take a crap without asking mommy if it was okay. And even in adulthood, they didn't do anything in life without approval from mom. So you see this kind of similarly in so many stories when it comes to true crime stuff.
That's insane. I've been asking for permission to go to the bathroom my whole life. I've never killed anybody, right? I mean, that's a different gene.
Who are you asking?
Just this random strangers.
That's different. That's a whole different problem.
I go over to Hagermeister Park and ask for permission, or do I have to buy something? Todd, let's get to this. This is pretty cool. This, I always say that, and it's terrible. It's not pretty cool. It's a plane crash or a disappearance, but Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. It's been called the biggest mystery in aviation history as to what happened with that flight. How do airplanes disappear? Have you ever investigated anything like that, or know people who have?
I mean, I know some people that are into studying it and reading about it and all that. And it is amazing to me when you look at the number of flights that go down and are never found. They're just never found. They may, if they're lucky, find wreckage somehow in right. the ocean or something like that. But they never actually find where the plane went down. Bodies are never found, all that kind of stuff. And it's not like one or two. If you look through history, there's a lot, which also makes me scared about getting in a plane.
Listen, I've gotten more scared about getting on a plane, especially after all those incidents earlier in the year. But I mean, I've never liked flying, but it was just kind of a necessary thing. But I don't understand how a plane, like, they can track it. It took off 38 minutes later. It went, you know, dark. Right. So if you draw an arrow in 38 minutes or whatever, now I'm doing the Wisconsin thing where we measure distance by time. But it baffles me that with all the technology we have that we can't pinpoint or find, like you say, wreckage.
It almost makes you wonder if something wasn't planned and something's not being hidden.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've never been that kind of guy, but it is kind of strange when they can't find anything or have absolutely no answers, to the point where it's like, well, it might have just disappeared or is in a different stratosphere or universe right now or something. Can we keep you for a few more minutes after the news, Todd? Okay. Todd Michaels is here. Radio legend, as I like to call him, approaching middle age. Matt Miller is here at 720. And I'm going to give you the keyword, folks, after intermission here when we start Act Two. That's all coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Matt and Aaron Air is up next on the Civic Media Spotlight. And on the last day before Jane took off for vacation, the top trio engages in a rousing discussion during Audio Sorbet about the merit, utility, and overall value of various crackers. It will come to no shock that Greg and Calvin both have different opinions, whereas Jane finds common ground on the matter.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, if you would like to help support Civic Media, you can always go to our Civic Media store.
Ooh!
Get some merch.
Love merch.
We got merch. Go to civicmedia.us, click on shop at the very top, and we've got some different t-shirts, and we've got a hat and some little tchotchkes. So if you would like to help support Civic Media, maybe buy a new t-shirt. Yeah. For fall.
Go to the Civic Media store. Oh, there's some stuff, fun stuff there. John and Gordy have a t-shirt. They're looking suave.
Looking very fine.
We should have a t-shirt.
They're maybe Matt and Air on Air merch. Merch-ish.
Merch and Air on Air.
Someday.
That was dumb.
That will let you know. But for right now, you can proudly wear a Civic Media t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Go to civicmedia.us, click on shop. And check out our wares. Yeah. It is 10:30, just about 10:37. This is the portion of the show that we call Audio Sorbet, where we
clean your ears with fun.
Thank you. I'd like that on a t-shirt. Today, Audio Sorbet, Food Takes, Cracker Edition.
Yes.
Before we went on the air this morning, we were talking. We always like to kick things around about what we want to do in this segment. Somehow we started talking about crackers.
Well, this is what I really love about Audio Sorbet is that you can plan a show. You can look at the news. There's plenty of news to look at. There's plenty of stuff you can discuss throughout the entirety of the show. But I feel my personal thought is that Audio Sorbet has to happen in the moment. And it usually happens about a half an hour or less before we go on air.
Just it's kind of a spontaneous thing.
Because you can't force fun. And it really comes out of a conversation where we're talking about the most mundane thing.
Absolutely.
And I said, it started with cheese.
That's right. We were talking about cheese.
I just was, I love.
Which is going to be another audio sorbet.
This is totally separate. So don't give us your cheese takes yet. We'll get to that eventually. We promise. But I was talking about the fact that we've been on a big Munster cheese kick at the house. It's just, and I feel it's the perfect cheese because it's not too hard, not too soft.
That's tasty. An argument for another day.
You're fine. I'm right. Everyone else is wrong. No, I don't think it's the best. It's just our cheese of choice right now. It's what, I mean, tomorrow it could be a fine brie. But I then went into the what I find to be an annoyance that when
the cracker switcheroo.
It's the more like the cracker substitution, and I will say that, and I'll bet you a lot of people agree. I love a Triscuit. I love a Triscuit and a plain one too. Just a salty Triscuit.
Those lovely salty Triscuits.
They can dip any. They're just built for speed.
I like it's a heftier cracker.
Yes, it doesn't get broken apart by dips.
Exactly.
You put a even sometimes a scoop in there, and you're like, oh, it's not just waiting in the pool.
Sure.
And I don't like it when I go to a party and I'm looking for Triscuits and someone says, oh, we just have Wheat Thins. Inside, I am upset. I don't say it out loud because that just makes me sound like a psychopath.
But it's a lesser cracker.
Oh, absolutely. In both in size, in thickness, in value alone. I feel like when you tell me, oh, I don't have a Triscuit, but we have Wheat Thins, you might as well just be like, you're not my friend. Why don't you just get out of my house right now? That's how I feel.
Very strong feelings about Triscuits.
And then tell me they're not there. I'll pick some up.
Calvin, want to weigh in on the great cracker debate? Yeah.
Tell me how I'm wrong, Calvin. You always do.
I will. So I will say Wheat Thins are better than Triscuits.
Of course you do.
But neither are good.
Oh.
I'll pass on both. I will take either a Ritz cracker or a Townhouse cracker. The most basic, nice. They're crunchy. They're also light and fluffy a little bit.
A little buttery.
Yeah, perfect.
What is your cracker of choice? 855-752-4842. Is it your classic Ritz?
Mm-hmm.
Is it perhaps the regular Triscuit?
Mm-hmm. And don't even give me the
garlic flavored.
Yeah, I don't need that
flavor. The fancy flavored crackers. No.
Oh, no. You're like, I don't need flavored Triscuits. Just give me the good old fashioned
regular run of the mill Triscuit cracker and salt.
And I'm not surprised that Calvin disagrees with me on like multiple levels. He's designed to disagree with me, it seems. We never agree. I thought we could come together on this.
Everyone has their own opinion.
Townhouse?
855-752-4842. What is your favorite cracker? We got your Triscuit faction.
Mm-hmm.
I love Triscuits. Pro Triscuit.
But
Townhouse crackers. They're light and butter. I like the ooh.
To me, a Ritz or especially a Townhouse, they're built for one thing and one thing only: soups. Crunch up
what?
Townhouse and you put cracker in soups.
Fritos in soups.
Get out of my country. What are you talking about? Fritos in chili, yes, but like you have like a chicken noodle soup. You crush up some Townhouses and you let it just happen.
No, you throw in little Fritos.
Let me ask you a question. When you go to a restaurant, Jane, mm-hmm. and you order soup, do they give you a little packet of Fritos or a little packet of crackers?
Well, if it was a good restaurant, they would give me Fritos.
Oh, I see. Okay. So now it's about what restaurants. Okay, great.
Just saying.
Calvin, thoughts on this one? Tell me once again how I'm wrong.
Well, I'm not a huge crackers and soup fan, but my head goes to saltines are the crackers you put in soup.
Yeah. So, to me, to me, a Townhouse, a Ritz, or saltines, those are all the same in my opinion.
Saltines are considerably grosser.
No. Calvin, don't stop there. Please finish that thought.
They're like, I don't know, they're thinner and more stale tasting. They have less flavor.
There's not a lot of taste to a saltine cracker.
Well, let's be fair, everybody here. If you took the salt off of any one of these aforementioned chips, they taste like nothing. You're really, it's, once again,
it's a delivery system.
It's a salt delivery system. Yep. But yeah.
Got some texts coming in. By the way, let us know where you stand on the cracker issue at 855-752-4842. John from Oshkosh, any cracker is good if it came from a barrel.
Kaboom! Ha.
Add some venison sausage and cheese. Good eating.
Oh, yeah.
Liz from Saukville, Cars water crackers. My husband likes those. Those two, though, they don't even have any salt on them.
No, and it's funny because I only know Cars water crackers from a song from a comedy duo from Australia where they use Cars crackers as the main point of the character.
Wow.
She's the greatest cracker packer ever. I'll play for you someday. You will laugh hard.
Good to
but,
know.
Yeah, that one is saltless and tasteless. But hey, you know, but if that's the thing is, if you're doing the whole venison sausage and cheese, again, delivery system. When venison and sausage, I use the venison as the cracker.
That's the cracker.
Yeah.
Liz from Saukville, Sarah from Green Bay, chicken and a biscuit.
What is that?
You've never had a chicken and a biscuit cracker?
No.
Oh, they're yummy.
They're
very specific.
In a biscuit. I am learning new things. It's a savory cracker that tastes like chicken. Okay, I dish it. Okay, all
it's,
right.
It's kind of yummy.
I see. I thought
actually,
if you said to me chicken in a biscuit, I would think of some like heavy duty, gut filling breakfast dish.
We're talking serious stuff here. Crackers, your favorite crackers. 855-752-4842. Sue from Franklin, Crunchmaster roasted garlic. Crunchmaster multi-seeds. I love those too, Sue, but I like the regular ones.
They're good, but there's something about the consistency. I can only have a few of them. After a while, they start to taste like...
Really?
Yeah. Also, heavy duty for dipping. That's a good dipping chip right there too. It's also built for speed.
Tammy from Eau Claire listening on WCFW. Some people would call you three crackers.
Okay. All right. Wow. Thanks, Tammy.
We're a little odd.
We're odd. We
embrace it.
We're like fine. We're like the Liberty Bell.
Favorite crackers for audio sorbet today, 855-752-4842. You got your Triscuit faction. You got your Ritz people. Then there's the Saltine, which I think it's a smaller group, at least from what we're seeing.
Yeah. I like a Saltine. I guess I would say that then, you know, I like a Saltine for a soup or a Townhouse for soup. I don't really mess with Ritz too much. It's not really my
doesn't do
much for me, no.
Matt from Richland Center. Calvin, you need to butter the Saltine. That is yummy.
Well, yeah, that's a given. I would never eat
plain Saltines.
Saltine isn't a great cracker for like cheese. Like I would never eat cheese and crackers with saltines.
I don't disagree with you at all. And honestly, I really think saltines are only designed for upset stomachs and soup.
Was the go-to when we were sick. Yeah. It was ginger ale and saltine crackers.
You really have so many more cracker options when it comes to like...
Have you been down the cookie cracker aisle at your grocery store lately? It's unbelievable.
That many?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There are going to be 47 different varieties of crackers. I didn't know we needed that many.
Is there a cracker you dislike?
That is anything with the rosemary flavorings.
Okay.
When they start getting into the flowery things in food, I am very anti that.
Okay.
It's like lavender infused ice. No, don't infuse it.
I think when you hear something like lavender or infused, it's their way of saying this is a $1.50 cheaper, more expensive. Whenever you use that language, I've said this before and I'll say until the day I die. It might even be on my gravestone. Flatbread is just expensive pizza. That's all that is. That's all that is.
There you go. Colleen from Richland Center listening on WRCE oyster crackers. They are not fishy.
No, and they're...
That's not a bad little handful snack.
They're also terrible for soup because it takes a decade for them to soften. They're so just rigid.
You got to sink them.
Guess, oh, I didn't realize there was...
You have to hold them under.
I'm literally looking up. I got to drown those.
I'm trying to find
pretzels? What is a pretzel?
It sounds like a pretzel cracker.
Yeah, I think it's those flat pretzels. They look like pretzels, but they're flattened. I'm looking at all of the crackers now. Wikipedia has a page.
There's a billion crackers.
There's a billion crackers out there.
855-752-4842 before we move on.
Ooh, a cheese cracker. That looks really good.
I mean, does the goldfish count?
Yes. Yes, I would. I would. Yes. Cause, it? Yeah. It's just.
Because you can't really put anything on it.
You're not trying hard enough, lady.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
I have to work.
You take
harder.
One of those with peanut butter. Come on now, or whatever you want to put. You know what? What cracker I've grown out of over time that you know you loved when you were a kid? Graham.
Graham cracker just and butter. Eh. Oh, that's also a childhood favorite.
Graham crackers right, are underrated. A s'more hits the spot every right. time.
True.
Calvin gets the last word. When we return, we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the This Blows edition. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Matt Nair on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 9 to 11. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
To finish off the Civic Media Spotlight, we have Valley Focus. On this week's Wednesday edition of Valley Focus, Nuisco Bureau Chief Lisa Hale visits with Karen Schneider of the Oshkosh Herald to talk about what is in this week's edition of the paper.
I'm Northeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief Lisa Hale, and I'm joined today by Karen Schneider. It's Wednesday, so you know the Oshkosh Herald is here to talk about the things that are in the paper. How are you today?
I am doing great, Lisa. How are you?
I am finer than a frog's hair split 12 ways.
Well, that would be fine.
Yes, it is. Now, last week we talked a lot about a proposal being brought to the county on a sales tax, and then they didn't do anything with it.
Well, they didn't do anything with it, but there was a presentation on the pros and cons of what that tax would look like prepared by county executive Hintz. But Supervisor Chuck Fari, who's the one who brought the proposal for the people to draft an ordinance for that tax to be implemented, pulled it, saying that they needed more time for people to have more information and education about what that would look like. But he is looking at bringing it back in September to the board for that vote on should the county staff draft that ordinance for that 0.5% sales tax.
So we'll talk more about that in September when they bring it back forward again.
I would imagine so. I think that's going to be something we're going to be talking about as it progresses, because once you have the approval to do the draft, right, the go-ahead to do the draft of the ordinance, well, then you have to do the ordinance. And what is that ordinance going to look like? And
right. Will
it still have that 30% shared revenue that Supervisor Fari has in his draft versus, you know, the most, I believe, County Executive Hinn said that is shared in other municipalities is 10%. So if that does move forward, where's that money going to go to?
Right.
Because the whole idea of it is to save people on their property taxes.
Right.
So we'll definitely be following this along with you to see what is, if it gets implemented, what's the net going to be for property owners in Winnebago County?
Yeah, absolutely. But that's in September. What's in the Oshkosh Herald today?
Well, guess what? Some schools already started, but school starts next Tuesday. So that's big, right? We'll be inundated with all the first day of school pictures, which I've already started seeing on my feed and social media, which is great because I was guilty of that as well. And now I don't have anyone who's going to school for the first time, for the first day. Kind of sad. But Fell Phillips is preparing for their third year. So Jonathan Ritchie caught up with Brian Davis, superintendent of schools, along with the principal over there, Amanda Patza, and she's in her second year. So, you know, we've all heard the stories of how the transition taking two middle schools into one didn't go very well. So they talk about that, about what they've learned, and what they learned helped also with the transition for Menominee Elementary. bringing all the teachers from the different schools and basically saying, this is how things are going, you know, going to be. What does a bathroom pass look like? What does tardy look like? All of that, which in the conversation caused a lot of those issues. They also addressed the fact that Val Phillips had more citations and referrals from their SRO, their school resource officer, than other schools. And part of that is education and also understanding what the role of the SRO is. So the article goes into a little bit of that, but they did share that the SRO at Val Phillips in the first year was giving trespassing citations out to kids who were skipping school versus walking them back to class, which is what the other schools would do.
Right.
You know, we've also heard of disorderly conduct citations being given to kids who were, for lack of a better word, lippy, you know, and talked back. Well, is that really a disorderly conduct thing? So taking a look at that and figuring out what does the discipline look like and where is it the educator's role of disciplining and where does the SRO come in?
Right.
So taking a look at that as well. So, but it's great to hear that things are getting better. You know, their turnover that first year was like 25% of staff and support staff. And this year it was 13%, which still sounds high, but it's lower than the average, which is 16%. So that's good news that, you know, it, and you learn somewhere along the line, you have to learn what works and what doesn't work. It's unfortunate that it was at Val Phillips that they did. And they also addressed the mega school comments that we keep hearing and about, you know, schools that are within a stone's throw of us and kids open enrolled to these other schools, that their schools are larger. Like Winneconne has a much larger elementary school. Nina, their middle school is like 1,900 students. I mean, it's huge. So taking a look at some of those different things that people have been talking about, but sharing what they've learned, the mistakes that were made, and what they're doing to rectify it.
That'll be a good article. Read. That will be a very interesting read. So what else do we have in the paper today?
So the other thing Jonathan took a look at was the corridor apartments. And if you've been down around the 600 block of Main Street in Jefferson, you see those townhomes coming up. So he goes into what the timeline is for that and what the qualifications to rent one of those is as well. Because those are affordable housing and it goes through HUD rules. So in the article, it talks about if you're a single person, this is what you can make. If you're a family of four, this is what you can make in order to qualify to live in either one of these one, two, or three bedroom townhomes. Keeping in mind that they won't be rented out till 2026.
Right.
And they won't start leasing until 90 days out. But knowing what that timing is also, you know, important, especially if someone who's interested in moving in there is currently in a lease.
Right.
But it's interesting to read that and how it's coming along. You know, the corridor partnered also with Oshkosh Child Development Center to bring the first two-shift child care center to Oshkosh. And so that'll be opening up too. And that is so needed. So it's a great story. It gives you an update.
So where can we pick up the Herald and where can we find it online?
All right. Online, it's at OshkoshHerald.com. And if you don't receive it in your mailbox here in Oshkosh, check out the Piggly Wiggly, Festival Foods, Quick Trips, BP's around the area. You'll find one there.
Excellent.
But get there early because they go fast.
They do go fast. Karen Schneider from the Oshkosh Herald, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.